What's up, folks? Welcome to another episode of Junior NBA Coach's Corner. Today, we are discussing team goal setting. We'll be joined by former Sports Illustrated National Coach of the Year and head coach at Wheeler High School in Marietta, Georgia, Larry Thompson, as well as Indiana Pacers assistant coach, Caleb Canales.
Welcome to the Junior NBA Coach's Corner. Here are your hosts, Dallin Cuff and Monica McNutt.
What's up? What's up? Welcome to another episode of Junior NBA Coach's Corner alongside the one and only Monica McNutt. I am Dallin Cuff. Mon, we're going to talk about team goal setting today. I mean, goal setting is important. I'm sure whenever you looked out to 2021, did you say I'm going to take over the broadcasting world in 2021? Was that your goal?
No, Dallin, that was not necessarily the goal, but you know, we're rolling with the punches.
You're achieving that goal, whether you've set out to it or do it or not. So we'll talk a little about that, unintended consequences of goal setting and overshooting your goal as well. We've got two great guests. Our first took the Georgia 7A state title in 2020, the 6A state title this past season, and has also earned the honor of Sports Illustrated National Coach of the Year from Wheeler High School in Marietta, Georgia, Coach Larry Thompson, and also interim head coach with the Portland Trailblazers at age just 34, became the youngest coach in NBA history and the first Mexican-American. He also has coached with the Knicks under Rick Carlisle at the Mavericks, and currently he is an assistant coach at the Indiana Pacers, Caleb Canales. Fellas, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
So, guys, as you heard, we're going to talk about team goal setting. And Larry, I want to start with you. Obviously, a very successful program. And I'm going to, full disclosure, I'm a big Steelers fan, so I'm going to use a Mike Tomlin quote here, but this applies to a lot of fan bases. But he always says the standard is the standard. And for Steelers fans like myself, the standard is Super Bowls. Whether we're good or not, we assume we're supposed to get into a Super Bowl. How do you assess your team each year? Do you always have a certain standard, a certain goal, or do you look and see what's realistic based on the crop of players you have that campaign?
And that's a great question. Being, you know, the head coach at Wheeler High School, it's such a historic program. Previous coaches, previous players, the Jaylen Browns, the Sharif Abdul-Rahims, those guys that, you know, walk the hallways that now where I coach and work at. It's a place that championship or bust, just to be honest with you. And you know, six state championships before I took the job 4 years ago, now eight championships in the school history, most in Georgia. It's championship or bust for us every year, no matter who is or who's not on the roster. So we go in there with that mindset. We work like it. And our guys now have to understand that they have a target on their back each and every year. So I like the pressure. I like the process. I enjoy it. Kids enjoy it as well. We're always the hunted. I mean, it seems like every time we go and take the floor, we're getting everybody's A game. So we have to prepare. And when we talk about goal setting, that's one thing we talk about at the beginning of the year. You're going to get everybody's A game. So, yeah, it's championship of bust for us at Wheeler.
Caleb, how do you approach it from the NBA perspective? And what we mean, obviously, there's every year there's only seems like a couple teams that actually can win it. But how do you approach, and these are grown men we're dealing with too, not younger players. So how do you deal with that?
Yeah, well, I mean, Coach Larry's got me excited over here, man. I'm going to have to go to his practice one day. But managing expectations and goal setting, you know, like we get together as a group, we get together as a coaching staff, as an organization, and set the expectations and goals and standards, you know, for every season. You know, this season with my first year with the Pacers, you know, obviously you want to still be playing right now and people watching right now, you know, that's the goal, is still to be playing. And obviously we came up a little short, but we're excited about, next year, and we can't wait to get started.
Caleb, now the topic of the pod today is team goal setting, but I used to have a coach that always said you got to be selfish in a team way in terms of individuals taking care of their responsibility, then obviously like a fist, all fingers make a punch, right?
Yeah.
So when you go about team goal setting, which comes first, the team's goals or understanding the individual goals and capabilities of your players, Caleb?
Yeah, great question, Monica. I think we all try to come up with different words, obviously, like how you know, the being selfish, like in your craft, you know, in trying to get better. You know, but I think the way we try to phrase it is try to take ownership about yourself, your game, your craft, which can only help the team, right? So taking ownership of that obviously is number one, and it goes kind of together, goes hand in hand with the team goals. And, you know, whatever team goals we set out for that season, I think it's important for the leader, for the head coach, for the staff to be excited about that. Because if you're not excited, it's hard for the team not to be excited about it, you know? And I think you have to bring that energy into that space every single day that the players and the building just kind of feed off. But, you know, to your question, obviously you have to, you know, work on your game. You have to, you know, your habits have to keep improving daily for the habits of the team to keep improving and to keep winning.
Coach, I have the same question to you, I guess, because it would seem that at the high school level, there's, I don't know, maybe this is debatable. Is there more room for your players to grow individually because they are so young and still formulating their game? And then you got to calculate that within the team setting. I mean, although you said championship or bust, we totally respect that.
Well, I mean, I think that goes with the nature of the talent of the kid that you have. Now, when I say that is you, when we come into a practice, so to speak, we're working on team stuff. And the guys that stay after practice are the guys that's being selfish with their time trying to get better individually, because we're not doing a ton of individual work. Even though we have skill work, you know, a lot in our practice time, you know, most of the guys that want to get better, they're going to stay after practice and get extra work. When we have those discussions about, you know, what do you want to accomplish as an individual? We hear all the time, I want to make all conference. I want to, you know, lead the team in scoring. And then we have those discussions because they're young enough to be selfish in that regards, but they're also naive enough to understand that I can't get this done without having a collective group around me. So the goals that each individual kid set forth, we'll have some real conversation about it. Kid tell me he wants to be, you know, all conference. Well, tell me why you want to be all conference. What does that do for you? How does that make us better? And how would you get there doing it? You got to take 30 shots to get there. That's not what we're trying to do individually. So I think having the real conversations with kids and setting their expectations after they tell me what it is they want to individually accomplish during the season, I think that's the how you can, you know, put that the cart before the egg or whatever the case may be. They understand it's a team goal. And if I accomplish this team goal individually, I have a better chance of accomplishing whatever they wanted to set forth.
Coach, that's a great point, but at the same time, there's going to be players, especially in a program as successful as yours, that have individual goals, that want to maybe play in college, or that right. But you might be having team success, but individually, mm-hmm. They're not necessarily meeting what they want to do. How do you manage that with the seventh, eighth, ninth guy on your bench that may not be getting meeting the goals he has set for himself, but the team is excelling? How do you manage that dynamic?
That's always tough, especially when we're talking about 6, 7, 8. We try to be 9, 10 deep. And like I'll just take last year's team. We had 5 guys that averaged double figures, and the highest guy was 15 points a game. So even though, you know, one guy may average more points than any other, you know, any particular guy, when you're talking about getting recruited and getting scholarships, the things you do on the floor, if they are translatable to the collegiate game, college coaches will find you. You might not be the guy that's going to average 18, 19 points, but you dive on the floor, you're making an extra pass, you're sprinting, talking on defense. Those things college coaches notice. So we talk about those things. Yeah, it might not be your turn to score 15 points tonight, but you can help us get 7 stops, 7 kills, and help our defense to the point where we get extra possessions. We get stops on defense. We get extra possessions on offense. That's how our guys get the opportunity to score, because that's the sexy part of the game, of scoring in the high school mind. So having those guys buy into a team concept or a team goal, which is always tough to do, and you don't really see it till, you know, mid or latter part of the year. I think that's one way, the best way, the way we've had some success is having guys understand the best way to get what you want to get is to defend. Because once you defend and get stops, you get more opportunities on the offensive end.
It's so funny, Larry, you said scoring is a sexy part of the game in the high school mind. Caleb, I feel like that's the sexy part of the game in a lot of parts of the game. Sure. The same thing can happen on the pro level, right? Like, a guy can have a great individual year and it didn't necessarily translate. It doesn't mean, like, how do you balance celebrating individual successes, right, that don't necessarily align or did not translate to team success?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Larry kind of talked about it. You know, it has to be a healthy balance. You know, it has to be a healthy balance, because as a coach, not only do you want to see your team be successful, but you want to see individuals have awards that they've earned, that they've worked hard for, you know. So, you know, like Coach mentioned, I think, you know, setting the expectations from day one, having honest conversations, real conversations with our players is very, very important. And it's not always going to be perfect, and it's not always going to be fun. And what everybody wants to hear, but if we are kind of on the same page in communications, then, you know, we can go forward with both the team goals and the individual goals.
Hey, Caleb, on that note, I mean, NBA guys are playing playing for contracts sometimes. Their team can be out of the running, but you're playing for your livelihood and your future contract and potential generational wealth. Yeah. Now, sometimes those efforts can go at odds with the team goals. So whether it's from you guys or translating down to the younger levels, how are you communicating guys that are actively doing things that are kind of against what you want to do as a team, but they're trying to get theirs, if you will?
Well, I think, again, it goes back to just the communication piece, you know, just having an honest conversation with them throughout the season, throughout the year, you know, before and after games, before and after practice. But like you mentioned, I mean, it's one of those things where I think team success has to override the individual success. Even though as coaches and organizations, you know, we love when players make all-star teams. We love it when players are all NBA teams. And I think the league itself, and I think teams specifically, you know, including us and especially us, we've had to get creative over the years in terms of, you know, rewarding impact versus rewarding scoring, you know, and I think that in the building and outside the building, you know, what impacts winning on a daily basis and on a nightly basis. And, you know, for us this season, 72 game season, you know, routinely an 82 game year going into the playoffs. And, you know, what is just your impact on the team and the group? And, you know, everybody loves to win, you know, so when they're in that case, you know, if they're going into, you know, free agency or stuff like that, you mentioned, you know, teams usually like winners. So that's kind of goes hand in hand with the team success and individual success.
What does that conversation sound like, though, coaches? Because, I mean, I can imagine over the course of my career, right? Like, this is what I want to do. Is it this? Your goals don't align with my goal and what I see for you as a coach. Like, what does the goal setting conversation sound like when you're talking to an individual that has to fit into a team component? Because, you know, we could be real lofty as athletes, right? Like, oh, I'm finna be all conference. I'm finna be the MVP, whatever the case may be.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily translate. So what does that conversation sound? Okay, Coach Caleb, I want to be all NBA this year. You maybe don't see that for me. How does that go?
Well, I think, Monica, I think, again, like, I think we get together and we communicate and, you know, we set goals for you. And then, you know, I have to be together with our coaching staff and say what goals we see with you before I meet with you. And, you know, once I talk to you about it, then we have to get on the same page. And like you said, are you putting in the work? Is your goal going to help us be more successful? And I think that's the hard conversation. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I hear you. Yeah. I guess what I'm asking you about is the hard part, right?
Yeah.
I don't, and maybe I'm making this up in my mind, but how often do those goals not necessarily align? And so often we hear athletes say, bet on yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, for sure.
Whatever. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that I believe you either. Yeah.
And, well, at my level, I mean, at my level, in the high school level, I have a kid say, you know, Coach, I want to be All-State. Well, like Coach said, first things first, what are you doing individually to say you want to be an All-State kid? And my doors are always open in the gym. Like it's always there. I'm always at work. I'm always in the gym. So if a kid tells me he want to be an All-State kid, he can't say he want to be an All-State kid and he's giving me junior varsity work ethic. I mean, you want to be all league. So this is the conversation we have. Okay, Monica, you say you want to be all league. Well, first and foremost, I don't see you in the gym enough. Like, I don't know if you know, outside trainer, but you know what we do here. And if you want to be all league, then you got to give up some of that social media time, some of that PlayStation time and get you behind the gym because, you know, my coaching staff is here working on your left hand, which is your weak hand. I'll be honest with them in those regards, not to shatter a dream because you want kids to dream big, but I will take what they tell me and play devil's advocate for that particular time. And then I'll build them up. So, you know what, it can be done, but the way it's going to be done, it's got to be X, Y, and Z. You can't be a guy that's out here gunning, trying to get yours and understanding the only way you're going to get that kind of success is if the team has success. Nobody really give those kind of accolades to guys that lose or play 500 basketball. It just don't happen in today's time. You can go out there and get 30 all you want.
Okay. I love that, Coach. Now for you, follow up parents, where do they fit in this? Talk about it, because that coach said that you can't, but yes, you can, because we know you in the gym with so-and-so and Uncle Bobby and them, whatever.
So I've been fortunate, very, very fortunate in the last 5-6 years that I haven't had that many parent interactions on this regard, but I hear about them all the time and I have had them. So I've coached 4 state championship teams in the last 6 years at 2 different schools. And once you have a level of success somewhat, those kind of conversations kind of shy away a little bit because it's like, dang, what can I say? We're being successful. However, you still have the one saying, you know, well, we won the basketball game, but little Johnny only got 8 shots. So you go back and you kind of be honest with the parents and tell them like, yeah, while he did only have 8 shots this past game, his team won by 15, 20 points. You just have to be honest. You have to have those tough conversations if they arise. You have to go back and say, okay, well, the reason why he's not doing X, Y, and Z, let me pull 2 or 3 of these practice films that we have in practice. This is the reason why he's probably not getting it because he's not competing hard enough in practice or whatever the case may be. I don't have very many open practices, but every other Wednesday, my parents are allowed to come watch his practice. And I do that for a reason, because the effort that they see in games, you don't just get playing time when you show up to games. You get playing time when you practice on how you practice and compete every single day. So those things kind of help those conversations be easier, be a lot less stressful, because your coaching staff and my coaching staff and myself, we understand each individual kid. We understand their strength. We understand their weakness. So again, and I know we've said it a lot, but those real conversations, I think they are needed more in the high school and AAU sector, because that's when these coaches, the parents have their most say so. And if you're not honest with them up front, you'll have those issues going forward.
I want to touch on kind of like interim goals. Like Caleb, it may be a little different in the NBA. As you mentioned, you want to be playing now. You want to be playing the playoffs. And if you don't get to the playoffs, there's one champion in the NBA. But with Coach Thompson, there's obviously every state's different, but you may have your district title. You may have your conference title. You may have before you get to states, whatever it may be. There's interim goals to get to ultimately a state championship.
Exactly.
How do you handle falling short of some of those interim goals when there's still a state championship to play for? How do you manage that process with a high school team?
Same way you do when you win it. You celebrate the success and you get better on the lessons, because we really don't call them losses. We call them lessons, something that we didn't do as a staff or individual kids didn't do over the course of a 32-minute game that didn't help us be successful. And you watch the tape, you watch film, you go back and have, you know, skill sessions on why you can't get to, you know, the middle of the floor with your left hand. And you help kids understand why we didn't win a basketball game, as opposed to saying, you know, you didn't do X, Y, Z, you know, long enough to be successful. And I think that thing with high school kids is, every year, I think every team starts out thinking they could win a state championship. And then 5, 6, 7 games in, you know, you have a few early season losses. And now individually, if you don't have a strong, you know, locker room, guys start what they call, I'm going to go get mine, because, you know, we are prone to be a little bit selfish in that regard. Having those open conversations, talking about it every single day, I think is one of the best ways to keep a team together. And on the coaching aspect, one thing I tell my guys, we have to let our habits control our success. So if we're going to be a great defensive team, we got to be great in defensive habits every single day, not just on game nights. And we talk about that. We talk about that kind of stuff every single day. So letting your habits control your success. Coaching is whatever my habits or I think we need to hang our hat on, we're going to work that every single day. And 9 times out of 10, most of the time it works itself out, because kids start to buy in and understand this is what make coach happy. This is how I'm gonna get playing time. So I'm gonna buy into this, whatever it is. And I can see myself fitting. And once I'm getting the minutes, the individual goals that I have set for, they're a lot more attainable.
Caleb, one thing I want to ask you is obviously, I'm not even sure I'm supposed to say this, but we'll just say it anyway. There was a lot of load management this year in the NBA. It was a tough year. The season was a very short off season. So you saw guys a lot of times, you know, at times maybe sitting out regular season games to focus more on the playoffs or get to this point in time. But there's a process to being able to peak at the playoffs too. So this year was unique, but any year for the NBA season, 82 games, it's a long season. How do you keep guys engaged and motivated in mid-January when you're at game 40, when you're halfway through the season? How do you manage them to keep them focused on the goal ultimately set?
Yeah, you know, we were fortunate. I mean, we have a very self-motivating, you know, motivated group that we had and we got to coach this year. You know, they're their mindset and their attitude every day was to improve and to get better. Like you said, this season, it's almost like you can look at it like a season and a half has just kind of continued to, you know, the past year, you know, starting with the bubble, kind of coming into this year, into the 72 game. So obviously, you know, a lot has to do with, you know, our training staff, and we just kind of lean on them a lot in terms of load management, you know, all the numbers out there for our guys and making sure that, you know, we put their health first, you know, just because of the number of games we play. And like you said, going into the playoffs now, every team is different. But I think for the most part, you know, you just have to really, really know your team. You know, maybe it's a practice day. You know, you're not practicing 90 minutes. Maybe you're just practicing 60 minutes. You know, maybe you come in on another day and you just, you know, get more shooting that day versus more defensive work. So I think, again, you just really have to know your team. You really have to know, you know, the temperature in the room, the pulse of your team the best. And then, you know, you get together as a staff and as an organization and, you know, make the best possible decisions, you know, to put them in the best possible position to succeed.
Caleb, real quick on that note, because numbers are obviously such a big part of the NBA game. Are there, I'm sure that there are game goals. You guys, I know different teams track deflections and so on. And
Yeah, no, we have, you know, we have a checklist, you know, every night defensively, offensively, you know, anywhere from, you know, hockey assists, you know, meaning like the next pass, before the assist comes, and, you know, deflections, like you said, if it's ball pressure, if it's taking charges. Like I said, I think, you know, I was blessed to coach high school as well and college as well. And I think and coach can probably attest to this, you have to get creative. You know, you just have to keep getting creative and, you know, just being really, really competitive, right? Because it's just about competing. You know, it's competing at the highest level. It's just competing. So any way you can manufacture your drills to be really competitive, you know, aside from them just, you know, looking at the score and just waiting for like the game to start, you know. So every day you just find competitive advantages, because like I said, I've been blessed to coach the best in the world for a long time, and they are the best in the world for a lot of reasons, but there is no one that loves to compete more than these guys at the highest levels. I mean, if it's from a shooting game after practice, I mean, you will just get their absolute best because they never want to lose. So you know, that's the fun part of it, is coaching the best at the highest level and, you know, watching them compete because, you know, they're so talented.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the competition, in all honesty, the thing I miss most about playing is just the daily competition. That's the piece that when you get step out of the game, you miss every day. Well, Coach Thompson, Coach Canales, we really appreciate your time, guys. Great insight. Thank you so much. And good luck as you guys move into the summer months and keep working out.
Great.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join Monica and Dallin each week on the Junior NBA Coach's Corner. For more, go to juniornba.com or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.